I hate to interrupt you. It's great listening to all the visiting going on in here. You don't get that when we're online or out in the parking lot. So it's great to be together on a Sunday morning. Good to see you all. Welcome to Grace. If you're here in the sanctuary, if you're out in the parking lot listening on the radio, or if you're at home taking in it online, welcome. It's good to be with you. You know, we often think of attending church as something we do. We come to worship. We come to sing praises. But in actuality, what happens at church is we receive. God dispenses his goodness and grace to us as we gather together. And today, we're in for an extra special treat because we're going to get it all. Word and sacrament. We're going to hear the word. We're going to get to see God give in baptism. And we're going to receive Holy Communion and commune with the Lord. So God is giving in all three ways to us today, word and sacrament. So what a blessing that is. Welcome. Good to see you. Just a few quick announcements before we get started. First of all, as I said, this is a Communion Sunday. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are welcomed to his table. And we usually draw the line at around fifth grade. We feel that kids that age can discern who they are as a sinner and receive the blessing that the Lord has for us in that. If you need a communion cup, a kit, hold your hand up. The usher will bring you one. We're getting through these communion cups, and hopefully we can get back to maybe doing it the old-fashioned way where we come up and get it. But anyway, if you need a communion cup, don't be shy. Hold your hand up, and the usher will bring you one. Tuesday through Friday, I'll be in the office. If you see my truck, stop in for a visit. I'd like that. Tuesday, 11 a.m., I'll be in an online district meeting. Wednesday, 8 o'clock a.m., Bible study. We're having a good time with that in the fellowship hall. All are welcome. We're studying the Gospel of John. And then Wednesday at 9:15, the Grace Prayer Group meets, and anyone's welcome to participate in this. If you see a prayer card in the pew and you have a prayer request, fill that out. Put it in the collection plate. It'll be prayed for on the following two Wednesdays. Wednesday, 10 a.m., I'm in that's a Freudian slip there, I think. So I'm in another online district meeting. And then Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30, the Grace Youth meet here for a meal, devotions, and games. Birthdays this week. Happy birthday to you all if your name's on that list. And then our August mission of the month, and there should be a slide that comes up for that. There's also an explanation when you go through the line after church to get some food. This is our mission of the month, Ariana Arnston Christensen. Ariana is an 18-year-old recent high school graduate from Pelican Rapids. She graduated, and then the next week she found out she was diagnosed with acute a leukemia. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that other one, but it's a rare subtype of acute myeloid leukemia. So we have a nurse here that can pronounce that. Help me out here. There we go. Thank you. Not even going to try that. So, but anyway, she's a local girl, and we really want to help support her and her family. So this is our Grace Mission of the Month. As I said, when you go through at the time for food and fellowship, there'll be a basket out there with that same poster on top of it. And you can, if you feel led to contribute to this Mission of the Month, that's where you do it. So, all right, Wednesday, August 11th, the Grace Youth is their Day at the Lake, hosted by Marty and Cynthia Scheide on Pebble Lake, Fergus Falls. I almost dropped in on you guys yesterday. I rode the Dalton bike trail, and I thought about veering off, but I wanted to make it to Dalton and get my ice cream, so I did. All right. all right, so I also don't like dropping in on people unannounced. So anyway, but thank you guys for hosting this Day at the Lake. And I do have the tube in the back of my truck, so don't let me forget that today. So, all right, Wednesday, September 8th, it's getting mighty close because guess what? It's August, and we're all asking, where did the summer go? Well, it's still August, so we have a chance this month to really do our summer stuff. So anyway, but September 8th coming up. We're starting our concert series back up again, and that's going to be great. So second Wednesday of every month, then, we'll have a concert. So, and some thank yous go out. September 19th, the Sunday morning Bible study will resume. So John and Linda Wright, if you have any questions, John, Linda, hold up your hands. They're the leaders, and if you want to participate in this, it's always well attended. Every room we've put them in over the years, they outgrow it. So if they outgrow the chapel, I don't know, we'll have to take over the fellowship hall, I guess. So all right, so maybe the coffee drinkers can go into the chapel then. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, so some thank yous go out. Thanks to all who brought food and served our fellowship time last Sunday. Thanks to the Grace Lutheran Women for serving at the Scott Poyer funeral. That's always a big ministry to the family when you do that. And then a special thanks to John Ripley and Phil Johnson for the audiovisual support at the Scott Poyer funeral. It was a funeral with a lot of moving pieces, and these guys knocked it out. So you guys, they're our silent heroes, so thank you guys back there. So those are the announcements today. Anything else? All right. Let's turn the corner into our worship service proper, and we open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship today.
Great to be with you this morning, and I'd like to invite you to join us in our opening hymn, our opening song of worship. It can be found in the blue hymnals on page 718, or you can just use the screen. So let's sing together, Gather Us In, here in this place.
Here in this place a new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See, in this space our fears and our dreamings brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather us in the lost and forsaken. Gather us in the blind and the lame. Call us to know and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young, our life is a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung through all of history. Called to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in the rich and the haughty. Gather us in the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song. Here we will take the wine and the water. Here we will take the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters. Call us anew to be salt for the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion. Give us holy and hearts that are true. Not in the dark of buildings confining. Not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom and now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all people together. Fire of love in our flesh and our bones.
Our call to worship is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm 145, verses 10 through 13. All your works praise you, Lord. They tell of the glory of your kingdom, so that all people may know of your mighty acts. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. O God, our Father, you are great and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Give us faith to know you, call upon you, trust you, and serve you in the wonderful name of Christ our Lord. Amen. I'll ask the praise team to come forward as we turn to the hymn titled, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. It's hymn number 543 in the green hymnal, or as seen on the screens.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation. Let all who hear now to his temple draw near, joining in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things is wondrously reigning, and as on wings of an eagle uplifting sustaining. Have you gracious ordaining? Praise to the Lord, who will prosper your work and defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Ponder his love, he befriends you. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that has life and breath, come now with praises before him. The Amen sound from his people again, gladly forever adore him.
praise to the Lord. One of the ways we praise the Lord is to stand before Him openly and honestly and confess our need for His grace, receive His forgiveness, and have our hearts lifted and redirected to Him in a different way. As sinners, we often fall into the rut of trying to do something to please God. But here, this brings God great joy to hear us admit our need for His grace, receive it, and then praise Him out of that abundance. And let's do this together right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father and Lord, we come to You just as we are, in all our brokenness, asking for forgiveness. Out of the depths we cry unto You, O Lord, hear our voice. Let Your ears be open to our plea for mercy. If You, O Lord, should keep track of sin, who could stand before You? Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. We are caught in sin. The good that we want, we do not do. But we do the evil we do not want. We are broken in what we do and in what we fail to do. Though our sins are like scarlet, make them as white as snow. Restore to us the joy of Your salvation. It's my great joy and privilege to announce to you today that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Him, your sin is forgiven. He has called you by name. You are His. God's Son has made you free. Amen. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, resting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And may God's peace be to each and every one of you. Well, having just confessed that faith together as the body of Christ, today we have the privilege of receiving a new member into that body, and I'm going to invite Darren and Michelle Teberg and Lily and the baptismal sponsors to make their way up to the baptismal font. All right. Very, very special day. Well, Darren, Michelle, and Lily, sponsors Ryan, Kelly, Brian, Lisa, thank you all for being here today. This is just a monumental privilege to be a part of this. Let us hear what the Scripture teaches about our sin and the redemption provided by God in Jesus Christ. From Romans chapter 3 and chapter 5, the words of St. Paul. Through one person, sin entered the world, passing sin on to all people. Because of sin, death came on everyone. Therefore, all are under the condemnation of sin and fall short of the glory of God. But God sent another person, His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sin. Through His death, He atoned for the sin of the whole world, so that those who believe in Him are delivered from death, declared righteous, and given eternal life. Let us hear now how our Lord Jesus invited the little children to come to Him and to participate in this great salvation. From the Gospels of St. Luke and St. Mark, people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have Him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children, let these babies come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And then this beautiful truth: "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And today, our Lord provides us with the opportunity to see a model of faith that he calls us to. How can Lily model faith for us? Well, because Lily is just in the arms of Darren. She's safe and secure. Lily can't make her own food, okay? It's provided for her. And this is the faith that God calls us to be utterly dependent upon him, to be held in his arms like a helpless baby. That's beautiful. "Therefore, in order that this child, just like the rest of us, who is by nature sinful from the time of conception, may see the kingdom of God, into which our Lord Jesus Christ himself has said that none can enter unless born of water and the Spirit, we will now, in the name of our Lord Jesus, receive her through holy baptism into Christ's believing church, that she may have a part in his salvation, as he himself promised when he commanded his disciples in Matthew 28, All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Well, Darren and Michelle, as part of our Lord's commandment, not only to baptize, but also to teach, I have some questions for you. And I know the answers, but we ask them publicly because it's important to confess our faith. And it's also important to remind ourselves that in this teaching process, the Lord has especially attached the promise that he's with you always in this. So, first of all, Darren and Michelle, do you confess the faith in that we just confessed in the Apostles' Creed, that biblical summary of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Yes. Is this the faith that you wish to have Lily baptized into? Awesome. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all of his empty promises? Yes. Will you make every effort to provide a Christian home for Lily and surround her with love? And I know that's already going on. Will you give Lily access to the worship and teaching of the church so that she may come to a more mature faith in Christ as her Savior? Will you seek God's guidance and strength to live your life as good example for Lily's physical, spiritual, and mental development? And I always ask this one. I think you know what's coming. Will you love her even when she's a teenager? Yes. Teenagers are very lovable, but they do challenge us sometimes because it's all part of the growing process. They're ready to become adults, and we're just not quite ready to let them be adults. We want them to be children. But so it's a challenge, isn't it? So teens, we love you. Sponsors, your turn here. Will you, the sponsors, pray for Lily, use your influence to guide her in knowing Christ better, and will you seek God's guidance and strength to live your lives as good examples for her? All right, Lily, you have a great team. Great team, and it is time. So, it's okay, it's okay. Lily Ray Teberg, okay. Lily Ray Teberg, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. All right. It's not bad. Not too bad. There we go. There we go. And look, you get a pretty little thing to hang on to. All right. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And I offer this special prayer for Lily. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God and Father, we give you thanks for preserving and extending your church and your grace to Lily in holy baptism. Receiving her as your child and an heir to your eternal kingdom, we humbly ask you to defend and keep her in this grace, that she may never depart from you, but may always live according to your will, finally receiving your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. God promises us in Galatians chapter 3, 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Lily, receive the sign of the cross. Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And we'll now light a baptismal candle for Lily. Lily, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I'll give this to Mom. Better hold on to both. All right. All right. You can turn and face the congregation. Lily, we welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, child of the same Heavenly Father, and worker with us in the kingdom of God. And Lily, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And I think having witnessed what God just delivered to Lily, applause is very appropriate. God's peace to you. Yes. God's peace. And you can blow that out whenever you're ready. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can all have a seat now, but this was really good. Awesome. Oh, yeah. We'll get the certificates to you. Thanks, Michelle. Here's the baptismal. In a moment there. And what a great moment it is.
Our first reading comes from Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 through 8 and 11 through 15, God's provision in the desert. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Our second reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended, gifts to his people. What does "he ascended" mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended in the very one is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, the word of the Lord. Let's pray the prayers of the church. We pray for those in affliction. Almighty God, hear the prayers of those who turn to you in their time of trial. Be their refuge and strength, and to the glory of your help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy. O faithful God, giver and sustainer of life, in this time of need, we thank you for the gentle rain for our crops and ask for more, that we may receive the fruits of the earth for our benefit and for your praise. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Well, as we come to the time where we're going to hear the message, I'm going to share a song called "Speak, O Lord." I've put the words up because this is one I've sung a few times before, and you've maybe heard it. And I would like to invite you to either follow along or sing along with me as we just prepare our hearts to hear God's word this morning. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purpose for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity.
cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and your majesty. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Now speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the height of your plans for us. Truth unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and your earth is filled with your glory.
Thank you, Amy. Well, it's that time in the service where I'm going to invite any kids who are willing to meet me over at the table for a message just for you. Well, it's actually for everybody, but it's aimed at the kids. All right. Good to see you guys. Well, what do I have here? Some sandwiches. And I should have had these with me yesterday because I ended up not eating lunch, going for a little bike ride, and that bike ride turned into a big bike ride. I rode all the way to Dalton and back, and I hadn't eaten lunch, and I was super hungry when I got home. And so if you felt like I did yesterday, have you ever been like really hungry? Really just, oh, so hungry. And so if you were hungry, would you want, and let's just say that, would you want that sandwich there, or would you want my brand new Bell Bank cash card? Now, this would, with my promise that I'll pay for whatever food you need in the future, okay? So you could have the immediate, oh, I'm hungry, I want to have a sandwich, but then you could eat it and it's gone. Or you could have the cash card with the promise that you'll be fed for a long, long time. What do you think? They're coming, dear. Fruit snacks, yes. So what do you think? Yeah, you made the right choice. So in our Bible reading today, Jesus is going to do a similar thing. People had come to him for bread. He had just fed them all with bread. He had multiplied the loaves and the fishes and fed 5,000 people. And they came after him and they wanted to make him king. Because wouldn't we want a king that could give us all the bread we wanted? But Jesus gave them bread to point them to something better, something more long-term. Just like the choice between I'll have a sandwich or I'll have a cash card with the promise that I'll pay for whatever you need. And so Jesus told them about, look, don't work for the food that perishes, but believe me and get the food that lasts for everlasting life. And that's believing in him and trusting in him, and then he promises us eternal life. So always remember that we have a lot of choices to make in life between immediate gratification and then long-term fellowship with Jesus. So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you didn't just meet our immediate physical needs. You aren't just the king of bread, but you are the king who came and took on our flesh and went to the cross and died for us so that we could have eternal life. And we thank you that you met our real need. Amen. Well, thank you, kids, for coming up, and let's give them a round of applause and fruit snacks. Oh, kids, you mean so much to us. You make our service so special. And we just thank you for being here. And I mean that, too. Wouldn't life be dull without the kids in our lives? So, well, let's pray as we come before God's Word today. Heavenly Father, your Word is spirit, your Word is truth, and it is the bread of life. So speak to us now in your wonderful name. Amen and amen. Our sermon text for this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. It's part of what's known as our Lord's Bread Discourse, and there's a reason the Old Testament reading was about the manna that the Israelites received in the desert. Jesus had performed a great miracle by feeding 5,000 people, multiplying 5 loaves of bread. As a result, the crowd wanted to come and make him king. King of bread. So Jesus withdrew from them. The next day, the crowd found him again, and this is what he had to say to them. From John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35, Jesus as the bread of life. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The word of the Lord. Well, the title of today's message is God's Way, and we see in this text a window into the way God deals with us sinners. And that way allows me as a pastor to tell people, look, I'm not in the judgment business. That's often the misconception that that's what pastors do. We kind of measure everybody and say, "Oh, you're not measuring up." I'm not in the judgment business. I'm in the forgiveness business. Let me explain with a personal story. There's the kindness that changed me. It was my senior year of high school when Kevin and I tore up all the rules. It was school by day, drinking, trouble, and a little fighting at night. It all came crashing down when one night I had to call my dad from the police station. Kevin's dad took a hard stand, taking his car keys, grounding him. Didn't work. It only inflamed his rebellion. My dad, on the other hand, told me this on that quiet ride home from the police station that night. He said, "Brad, whatever happens, I will always be proud to call you my son." That grace in the moment changed my life, my direction. I wanted to honor that love. It turned me around 180 degrees. It was a lesson in God's grace, you see. His kindness always points us heavenward, and that's what this text is all about. This morning, as we take a closer look at this text, we have to acknowledge our Lord is talking about two kinds of bread, both grounded in God's kindness. You see, God does provide bread for my body. This is what Exodus 16, God gave manna. And by the way, that's what the name means in Hebrew. Mana means, what is it? They went out every morning, and what is it was laying right on the ground there, and they just had to pick it up and eat it. God provided for them. That's what John chapter 6, the first part of the chapter, is all about, where Jesus fed the 5,000 with five loaves. And it's exactly what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. But you see, I need spiritual bread for my soul also. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8, chapter 3, a verse directed at the truth of God providing manna for the Israelites in the desert. And it's exactly the verse that our Lord quoted to the devil during his first temptation to turn the stones into bread. You see, God uses his gift of earthly bread to point me to his gift of eternal bread in Jesus. That's his way of grace. So our Lord's teaching in his bread discourse, let's take some points here as we look at this text. First of all, God's way of grace, his kindness in giving me bread, confronts me. This is what we see where Jesus confronted the crowds. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of your fill of the loaves. Now, John in his gospel always uses the Greek word semeion to speak of the miracles of Jesus, and that it means sign. So John builds his gospel around seven great signs, and this is one of those signs. What does a sign do? It points to a greater reality. If you approach a railroad crossing and see those cross arms and you disobey that sign, the sign's not going to do a thing to you. The greater reality that the sign is pointing to just might if you pull out in front of a train. So Jesus says, look, I just worked a great sign for you. And it's pointing to me as God's heavenly gift to you. But that's not why you're here. You like the sandwich, so you're back for more. So, yes, there's a confrontation here. Jesus had walked away from this crowd because they wanted to make him their earthly king of bread. And you see, if bread is what I need to survive, my pursuit of quote, bread, all these things that we enjoy in our physical life, gets complicated when I start to determine what my needs are. And that's what the crowd did. Well, we need a king of earthly bread, then we can be fed every day, and life will be grand. But that's the problem. They began to define what they needed. And this takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Like Adam and Eve, I see things and pronounce them good rather than listening to God's voice. And if you read the creation and the temptation account, the very first time that someone other than God sees the Hebrew word ra'ah and then pronounces tov, good, it leads right into the temptation. When Eve looks at the fruit and says, she looks at the fruit and she says, this is good. And we got trouble. We got trouble. God is in the business of defining what is good for us, what we need. Parents, we all know, we work very hard defining the difference between what we want and what we need. We never grow out of that as people. You see, because of my selfishness, I too look at my earthly gifts more than the heavenly giver. But this isn't all we learn from this text. Secondly, God's way of grace calls me. This is the call. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. You see, God's way of grace makes his earthly gifts into signs that point me to the eternal gift of his Son. So here's the calling. When you enjoy these earthly gifts, don't forget to look up and look for something even better. Jesus calls me away from obsessing over temporary things to receive his eternal friendship. You see, my way, and it's the way of the world, and we all get locked into this, I need to work, I need to earn, and then I possess what is mine. God's way is, here's the gift of my Son. Be blessed by him. Believe in him. God's way of gift and grace sounds strange to me because they are unconditional. But I live in a conditional world. And this is the third thing we notice in this text. God's way of grace is unconditional. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Right? We got to do something here. That's the world we live in. You get what you pay for, right? Jesus answered them, "This is the, quote, work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That's the great work God is looking for in our lives, is to be like Lily, to rest in his arms and to believe in him, in what he has done for us. Our conditional world, if we want heaven, then we must work, right? That's what our old nature thinks. That's what the devil whispers in our ear all the time. God's unconditional grace says the work of God is to believe in Jesus. In other words, he did the work for me. That's why we call it gospel, good news. Even our faith is God's work. By giving us a faithful Savior, he creates our faith to trust in him. He is worthy of that faith. This is what Paul says in Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. See, all God really wants from me are my praises in word and deed. He wants a response to his free gift of grace. The late Gerhard Fürthe helps us understand the unconditional nature of God's dealing with us sinners. This is a brilliant quote from his book, The Preached God. He says, "We do not know what to do with an unconditional gift or promise. Virtually our entire existence in this world is shaped, determined, and controlled by conditional promises. Conditional promises always have an if-then form. If you eat your spinach, then you will get your pudding," right? But the saving act of God in Jesus Christ is an unconditional promise. Unconditional promises have a because therefore form. Because Jesus has overcome the world and all the enemies by his death and resurrection, therefore and only for that reason, you shall be saved. It is Christ alone. Our fourth and final point is that God's way of grace is eternal. This is exactly what Jesus says. "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst for all eternity." The necessary manna for earthly survival was not from Moses, but a gift from God's heavenly hand. And in a similar way, God calls us to see our earthly bread as his sign that points us to his heavenly gift of Jesus Christ. The true bread necessary for eternal life is Jesus Christ, who is the gift from God's heavenly heart. What a way of grace. To God be the glory. And it invites us to pray. And let's do just that. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the true bread which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Forgive my anxious concern over bodily food and clothing, and fill me with a joyful confidence in my Father's care. Grant me such faith that I may cherish the food that endures to eternal life, and find that all my other daily needs are provided as well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I invite the praise singers to come forward, and as we prepare ourselves to receive a heavenly meal that God has given to us, the sacrament of his communion with us, we're going to sing a hymn, What Feast of Love. It's found in the blue hymnal, 701, or as it appears on the screen.
What feast of love is offered here? What banquet comes from heaven? What food of everlasting life? What gracious gift is given? This is Christ the King, the bread come down from heaven. Oh, taste and see and sing, how sweet the manna given. What light of truth is on
way, our Lord today invites us to eat of the bread and drink of the cup, to feel his physical embrace in doing so, because that's the way he communicates to us in word and sacrament, in the precious words of his promise, and then through physical means, the water of baptism, the bread and the cup of Holy Communion. The bare verba, the simple words of Christ. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you." I invite you to peel that clear layer of plastic off. Take the wafer and hear Jesus' promise from Matthew 26. Take and eat, this is my body given for you. holding on to that cup very tightly. I invite you to peel that foil layer back. And hear Jesus' word of promise regarding this. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Take, drink. This is the blood of Christ." Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ has now bestowed upon you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all of your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, well, as our time together comes to a close, I'd like to invite you to stand. We'll sing the new doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. All creatures here below, praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let earth and heavenly saints proclaim the power and might of his great name. Let us exalt on bended knee, praise God the Holy Trinity. Praise God, praise God, praise God who saved my soul. Praise God, praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise to the King, his throne transcends, his crown and kingdom never end, now and throughout eternity. I'll praise the one who died for me. Praise God, praise God, praise God who saved my soul. Praise God, praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, praise God, praise God who saved my soul. Praise God, praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow.
God's peace be to each and every one of you. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us, and let me offer this prayer for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence given to us so freely today in word and sacrament. And I pray your blessing upon those who are in the sanctuary, those who are listening on the radio, and those who are taking this in online, Lord. Touch each one of us with your presence and with your embrace, that indeed you are the bread of life. We pray a special blessing upon those who celebrate birthdays this week: Taylor Thorson, Marcia Dillon, Julian Norgren, Dick Rossow, Jim Klitsky, and Mitchell Wright. Lord, may they be blessed as they celebrate another birthday. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we offer up to you our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive God's blessing this morning. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God. Thanks be to God.